Welcome to Nursing Notes Live, compelling interviews with today's nurses who are changing healthcare. Brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing. Nursing Notes Live, presented by Johnson & Johnson, is the podcast extension of the national bi-monthly e-digest, Notes for the Nursing Community, which shines a spotlight on nurses as innovators and critical change makers in the delivery of positive patient outcomes within today's healthcare landscape. You can subscribe to receive Notes for the Nursing Community updates at the Johnson & Johnson Nursing website, discovernursing.com. Every month, Notes for the Nursing Community content is accompanied by two episodes of this podcast, which provides greater insights and nurse perspectives into topics discussed in the e-digest. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on the podcast player at discovernursing.com, and don't forget to subscribe to the entire series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of Nursing Notes Live, I chat with Suzanne Shug, a nurse who has been making innovative changes in healthcare delivery throughout her career. She has experience in a broad range of health areas, from health insurance to telehealth to implementing preventative cardiovascular clinics. Her role teaching about future technology in medicine at Rutgers University is key in helping healthcare professionals learn about advances in telehealth delivery. Join us as we discuss her drive to further her personal mission to change healthcare for the better, and how other nurses can follow her innovative example and do the same. Hi, Suzanne. Welcome to Nursing Notes Live. It's a pleasure to have you here on the show this week. Before we get started with talking about some of the amazing things you've been working with currently, I'd like to kind of give the audience a little chance to hear a little bit about your background. So why don't you fill us in on who you are and how you've arrived to do the amazing things you're currently working on?
Jamie, thank you so much for having me, and I will try to live up to those expectations. I've been a nurse, and I think once you're a nurse, you're always a nurse, for about 18 years now. So I started out at St. Barnabas Medical Center as a nurse in telemetry floor and critical care, which was pretty remarkable for the time, as they didn't have a lot of nurses that started in that area. And then after working with patients for about a year and a half, I decided that, I think I can make a bigger impact if I went back and became a nurse practitioner. So that was sort of my calling. And I about 18 months later, I got a master's and became a nurse practitioner, and then practiced as a nurse practitioner in and out of the hospital and some preventative clinics. And then I decided at that point in time, well, let me see if I can make a bigger difference. And so then I went back and got my doctorate. Got my doctorate at Rutgers, and then started to teach a little bit on sort of a per diem basis. Right after I got my doctorate, then I also became a set for my boards for the clinical lipid specialists. So I became a lipid specialist. So I treat high risk patients with early coronary disease. I do that currently and run a preventative clinic currently at NJ Cardiology Associates out of their subsidiary of St. Barnabas Medical Center. Since that time, I've sort of been really driven to really focus on prevention and how we can help our patients as well as providers. I think we have multiple problems in our healthcare system, both in nursing as well as the overall healthcare system, for many different reasons. And I'm not here to fix them all, but I think that some of the things that we're doing will help improve some of the healthcare, both for the patients and for the providers. So that's sort of my focus at this time.
Excellent. And I really want to focus on what your experience is in doing those kind of things and innovating because of your role as the chief executive officer and co-founder of TelePlus Healthcare. You've really put together an interesting telemedicine resource for the individual provider to help connect with their patients. And I think that's innovative. Tell us a little bit about some of the resources you put together there.
So what we're currently working on, we're actually working with the University of Pennsylvania and their sleep center. And we've been able to put together a resource where we have 26 online modules. We're able to train nurses and nurse practitioners, and we're working on a sleep tech education program. So it enables nurses that are working in different fields, or now nurses or nurse practitioners that now want to go into sleep medicine because there's a huge shortage, to be able to be trained and get up and running right away. So not only is it teach them how to identify individuals with not only sleep apnea but other sleep disorders, it also helps them be able to run a clinic, to be able to interact, and then to be able to treat sleep disorders. So I think that's really important, because as we all know, our society is getting larger. That's to say it kindly. And as we get larger, our incidence of sleep disorders really increase. And as sleep disorders really increase, specifically sleep apnea, it increases the incidence of diabetes, atrial fibrillation, congestive heart failure, worsening COPD, depression, accidents. So, you know, we hear about accidents all the time for people who have sleep apnea. So that's one of our focuses. Is one of our focuses as well in the near future. What we're working on right now is also an obesity program, through text messaging and through obesity specialists, and we're working with one of the specialists at Johns Hopkins. And we're also doing some work on dementia, Alzheimer's, and also COPD and asthma. So we're really trying to cover the gamut in some of the specialty areas that other people are not willing to touch. Our thoughts are this, and that we don't want to farm out the management, but rather keep the patients with their current providers and go in and train and in empower providers and practices to be able to further take care of their patients and integrate telemedicine.
And I wanted to make sure we touch base on all that, because I think it highlights exactly why I wanted to talk to you on the show today, because you have an interesting outlook with your background as an entrepreneur, your background as an innovator, your background with healthcare technologies. And I want to really talk to you and get your ideas on what's going on with nurses and innovation in things like healthcare and technology. What do you feel? Do you see an increase there? And where do you see that increase appearing most frequently?
I do. I mean, it's a huge increase. And I think one of the reasons why there's a huge increase in innovation in nurses is because we see the problems firsthand. So as nurses, you're in the line of fire. So one of the reasons why I became a clinical lipid specialist is because I worked in cardiothoracic step down, meaning that patients that just had open heart surgery or patients that keep coming for cardiac catheterizations and have some sort of intervention like stenting. And I don't want to get too technical, but what I was seeing is that these people keep coming back. You know, they keep coming back to get more stents. They keep coming back to get bypass surgery. And, you know, one of the things I was like, okay, we can prevent this. So as nurses, they're in the front lines. I mean, I feel so privileged to be a nurse, because we really do get to touch people's lives in ways other people are not able to. We're allowed into a window of a very personal window of patients that most people don't get to see. So you know, I feel privileged and lucky that I'm able to do that. So The innovation, I think, comes from need. And, you know, we have this new breed of highly advanced technology individuals that are coming out of school. So they grew up on their phones and their computers. So they're, you know, they automatically think the way of technology, because who wants to call somebody when they can text them or make an online appointment? And that's the way the generations. My generation and the generations below, probably not my generation because I'm old now, but the generations below me think about things. So that's some of the things that we have to hedge. The other thoughts that we really need to keep in the back of our mind is how to manage the growing chronic care population. What I call the boomers these days, I call them the silver tsunami, because there's so many of them and they have so much healthcare needs, because they have multiple chronic care needs because they're getting older. So, you know, you have multiple large problems and you have new innovators because they're trying to solve these problems.
And it's interesting you say the aging thing because, you know, as a nurse in my 50s myself, I remember not that long ago having conversations on my various shows, including this one, about nurses having challenges dealing with technology and new advances in technology being brought into the workplace. And you're right, the new students that are coming on to the scene in the field of nursing right now do not have those challenges or the phobias associated with technology. They jump right in and they don't just grab a hold of that technology, but they say, this could be better. And I think I can actually figure out a way to make it better. And that's really exciting.
It's really exciting. I find the biggest barrier I have with the newer nurses is communication, because they're so used to communicating through text and communicating through email and communicating through different platforms, but they're not used to communicating through human beings. They're not used to communicating through having conversations. So it's just teaching them how to deal with certain escalations of behaviors and that sort of thing. So that's the biggest challenge I have with the new nurses. And as a nurse educator, I've actually gone on to hospital floors, and it's a problem across the board in different hospitals. So I think the technology is wonderful, and I think that these innovators are being made essentially because they're given technology so early on, but it creates other problems.
You know, a concept I've been thinking a lot about lately, and we talk a lot about nurses as leaders and our leadership role in healthcare, but I'm beginning to think more in the terms of stewardship in healthcare, because I think that implies ownership in a way that's very important. Do you have any thoughts about that juxtaposition of leadership versus stewardship and how nurses can play a key role in that?
Yeah, I think, you know, as nurses, I think we're innovator for change. So, you know, stewardship, the ownership is key. I mean, we basically, nurses take ownership of their patients. That's what they do. So nurses are with their patients, you know, 12 hours a day or 13 hours a day, where you have providers, physician assistants or nurse practitioners, and not like they're not involved with their patients, but they come in and do a consultation and they leave. You know, that nurse is that sort of that gateway to that patient. So we have a unique opportunity to create change. And I think that's what we're trying to do. My company is trying to do it from a more of a holistic type of view versus a medical type of view. So, you know, we really want to do the right thing for the patient. We really want to do the right thing for the provider, because we know that there's a huge problem now with provider burnout. And we know that there's a huge problem now with patients. When you call a doctor's office, you're not able to get to your provider and you can't get help. And that's why a lot of people either end up with an exacerbation or they end up back in the emergency room.
And this is another one of those places, I think, where technology can step into the gap, where there are nurses that are out there in the telehealth environment, whether they're accessible by phone to answer questions and help the patients make decisions about where they best can seek care or can they wait to seek care. These things are all important, and nurses always seem to be right there in the forefront.
I agree 100%. I mean, what we're trying to do is to... We have certain chronic care conditions. Let's just take congestive heart failure, because that's the easiest one to talk about. But we have certain chronic care conditions that have scientifically proven questions. So we know that these are triggers for these type of patients. And so they answer 7 questions a day. Based on those questions, they're able to be put in a category red, yellow, or green. And so the people that really need the care get care first. So and they have the same nurse every day. So they have the same touch points every day. The nurse knows exactly what's going on with them. There's a lot of continuity. So we're able to use that. The other thing we're able to use is they're able to do it through a secure HIPAA approved video conferencing, and our patients have tablets And the tablets, they're able to see, you know, swelling in their legs. They're able to see skin lesions. They're able to see blood pressure. And we also have connective devices that Bluetooth connect. So we have partnered with some of the devices so they can only connect at a certain time so that there's not multiple errors of different blood pressures or weights coming in. So we're able to control the environment, and we're even able to remote control their tablets if there's a problem or they need some assistance. So we have IT people on board to help with that, you know, that anxiety with the IT. And then we also make the tablet very user-friendly and very large. So because we know we're dealing with a lot of seniors. So you have to know your clientele, and you have to know what works and what doesn't work.
And you've seemed to have addressed a lot of the challenges that your particular target clientele face. And this is, again, comes back to those nurses knowing the problem, seeing them firsthand, and then being able to say, this is a place where we need a solution. Maybe I can come up with that solution. So I'm curious, you know, how much contact you have with nurses seeking to become entrepreneurs. It seems like there's more and more nurse entrepreneurs like ourselves out there finding ways to innovate, creating their own products in the healthcare field or starting their own companies in the healthcare field. And I'm curious what kind of starting advice you give to them when you run into folks that are thinking about starting their own nursing business.
So folks that are starting their own nursing business, my first piece of advice is be patient. It takes a long time. So I think that people think that entrepreneurship is easy. It's not. Raising money is tough. It takes a long time, especially if you're doing what I'm doing is I have multiple roles. And I think the multiple roles for me are very good because it makes me understand the healthcare market. But I have a practice. I'm still teaching, and I'm in this role. So you know, be patient. The other thing is be persistent. You know, it depends upon what direction you're going in. Telemedicine, we've had to create a whole platform. We've worked with major universities. All of that takes a lot of time. And, you know, it gets frustrating trying to get through all these hurdles. But be patient, be persistent, and keep up the hard work. I think that we need more and more nurse innovators to solve the problems. You know, I've known many of them. I've given a lot of advice to them. I think it's amazing what some people are doing. There's so much new technology and great innovation out there. We can't even see some of it because there's just no platform. So I'm really, really, really thankful to be able to be on this podcast today.
Just a final question for you, and it really comes down to, we talked about advice for the entrepreneur, but how about the advice for that nurse at the bedside where they are seeing an opportunity that potentially could offer a better outcome for the patient, but it's going to take a systemic change in the technology and how it's used in their system. How do you counsel people about overcoming the hurdles and the challenges and the naysayers that may say, well, we've always done it this way?
So the naysayers are old school. Don't listen to the naysayers anymore. And that's something that you have to be able to get through. There's always going to be that person that says it's not going to work, or they're going to try to put you down. If you know that this system where you have a good idea, I'd actually talk to a patent attorney and see if, number one, if there's something like that out there, because you don't want to go down that road if someone else has created something like that. And then also do the research to see, you know, what the need is. I think the most challenging part is then getting to the administration if you're going for one specific hospital system. So start small and grow your business and get boots on the ground and get your product in somewhere, even if it's a small arena, and then you can build from there. You're not going to go from startup nurse innovator to Google, you know. And I think a lot of people think that that's something that can happen. Yes, it does happen every once in a while, but it's about persistence. It's about you know, knocking on doors. It's about really boots on the ground and really working hard. And I think, you know, there was a book I read one time, and it says it takes about 1,000 hours of time to put into one specific thing, and about 10,000 hours to really master it. And I really find that that's true. You think you're there, and then you just keep learning and learning and learning. And as nurses, we know that education is key in everything. And you keep having to adopt it and change as the market and the patients and the needs change.
Stay tuned for more episodes here at Nursing Notes Live coming soon. And check out another recent episode with NICU nurse Tricia Cady, who's been working with premature and sick newborns for 10 years of her 22-year nursing career. She developed an innovative new product, the Cady Hug, to help keep neonates' hands secure and away from their medical tubes and wires while still allowing for developmentally important movement. You'll find that and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing by MedicCast Productions. All rights reserved.